That would have been a good start. Break my iPad before we start. Good morning, everybody. Hope we are well. I have to say, you sounded beautiful this morning. Just, it's lovely to hear. Being a worshipper myself and a worship leader over the years, when you just hear the church just really just connect with God and sing out his praises, it uplifts my soul, because I love people connecting with God in worship. It's my passion, it's my joy. And when I hear it and see it, it's a joy. But also I know that heaven is like going, come on, Harbour, you guys are rocking it. And they're worshipping with you. The whole heaven host is worshipping. You know, the whole army of heaven is worshipping with us and praising God. But today, what I want to speak about, when Gareth asked me, can you do a little talk? I said, okay. And straight away, God gave me the message. And it is, don't be afraid of God and his Holy Spirit and the changes he can bring. And I was sitting there a little bit as we were going on what Sam brought and what... Oh, dearie, dearie. I've forgotten names already. Candy, sorry, Candy. I'm just terrible with names at the moment. And Candy, but I'm sitting there thinking, I don't need to preach anything today. Words that came out from Sam and from Candy are just... And what's been going on in worship, it's God knows what he's doing and what he's speaking today, and he's speaking to all of us. So, but I'm going to ask the question, who likes change here? Oh, that was a nice big yeah from Hayley over there. Yeah. Change can be a scary thing, as we're not sure what is happening when we're in change, and we're not sure how it's going to end, because, you know, We can't see the ending line, but we know what's going on. We know something's happening. And that can be a tough thing. Let's take this metal fork. Now, I want some young volunteers as well. Any young volunteers? I need about 4 young people. No? I can take adults as well. Ethan. Evan, come up here. Come on. Yeah, it's another young person. Cool, right. That's it. Ah, oh, excellent. So, can you create, put yourselves back to back, a bit of a triangle. If we had more, we'd do 4. So, we're going to do a little experiment. This metal spoon, oh, actually, it's a fork, sorry. It's solid. My head's hollow, so you can hear it. Would you say that this metal fork is changeable or unchangeable? Changeable. And how do we change it? Backs to back. Put your backs to back. Evan has, yes. Get close together, packed up. So, it's changeable, but what are we changing? This is the experiment. You are going to be atoms. Pretend to be atoms. Now, the atoms in this metal fork at the moment are still, and they're tightly packed together. But as I start to begin to apply heat, they start to wiggle. Yes, it. They start to wiggle. And they wiggle a little bit more because of the heat I'm applying to it. And as I start to bend it, they start to keep wiggling a bit more. It's cracking. They wiggle some more. And then because I'm spending this and putting stress on it, what's going to happen? It's going to break apart. Because I'm applying change through heat. Heat is the catalyst and they break apart. Thank you. Everyone give them a round of applause. So, as I said, what happened here, I applied heat to the metal fork, I started bending it, and it started to move, the atoms moved apart, and because I was bending and stressing it, the atoms broke apart. Heat was the catalyst for change. If I had a furnace here, and we just put that in here, and we rested the fork in there, what would happen to it if I was just letting it rested? It would become a liquid, and we could reforge it, we could reform it into something completely different. Okay. This, what I done here, was a forced change. I had to apply heat to make it work. And if that was us as humans, heat's not nice. And that is why when it comes to change, we can sometimes be fearful of change. Because the process is a bit tough. It's a bit bendy. We can go in different ways. As I say, that's because we're being stretched. But... when God brings change, he's cheering us along. He's beside us all the time. He's with us all the time. As it says in Isaiah 41, get the verse up, 31 in verse 10, it says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you. I will hold you up, sorry, with my victorious right hand." And it's a mighty right hand. God also gave us his Holy Spirit to help us in our change, but he also sent his Holy Spirit to be a catalyst for change. Like I said before, we have to say, I didn't say that before, I've gone over my notes, but when it comes to change, we have to say yes to God. Change, when God comes along and gives us change and asks us to change, it's never a forced change, like I did with this, and I broke it. God will never force us to change. It's always done in partnership with ourselves. But the best thing we got to remember is we got to say yes, or we can say no. Now, God is never going to think any worse of you because of that. You said no. You'll be a little bit like, oh, come on. And I've been there plenty of times, trust me, when God's going, come on, Sam. Come on, Sam. Come on, Sam. I'm going, nah. I can't do that, God. Come on, Sam. I can't do that. And sometimes I don't. But God doesn't go, kicks you, gets rid of you. No, he's always there cheering for you. But we have to trust in him. It's a partnership. We have to have faith and trust him, as was spoken already this morning. And we have an example of this in the Bible. When the disciples, if we look back in Acts, Jesus said to the disciples in Acts verse 1, verses 4 to 5, and we must remember, this was after the death of Jesus and after his resurrection from the grave, but before he went to heaven. He said in Acts 1, verses 4 to 5, once, it says here, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit." Now, how cool is that? You're sitting there with Jesus, and he's saying, "You're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit." But the disciples are probably going, I like to think sometimes some of them are probably going, "What's this? I don't understand." Now, some of them could have gone, "Not sure about this. What's it all about?" And they could have turned and gone. But, and I'm jumping ahead of my notes, sorry about this. But as we read on in Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus said again, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Again, you're hearing this from Jesus. There's this change coming. There's this Holy Spirit. What is it? The disciples could have gone, what, how, when? I could have walked away. But the disciples didn't walk away. If you read on in Acts 2, and they were all gathered together, the Holy Spirit came. There was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty wind. Flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages. See, the disciples chose not to walk away. They trusted in Jesus. They trusted in God and in his word, because they knew that no harm would come before them. And they said yes. And when the Holy Spirit came, they allowed the Holy Spirit to rest on them. And it changed them. And it changed them for the better. If you read on in Acts 2, we can see that in that day alone, thousands came to know God. And they were baptized. And they came to know the Holy Spirit. Now, if the disciples had chosen not to do that, you know, think about it. History. We're going to go a bit sci-fi here. A bit like the Kelvin timeline in Star Trek. You're into that. Complete different. You know, we couldn't be standing here, maybe. Because if the disciples hadn't said yes to Jesus and trust him in the Holy Spirit, could we still be here today because they didn't do what God said? I think we would, because then God would have done his plan still anyway, because God's not going to give up on us because he loved us. He sent his son, so he wouldn't give up on us. So the change was well worth it. And the same is true for us today. Do we say yes to God and his Holy Spirit? Well, the fact that you're sitting here, you did at some point in your lives when God said, "Hey, I love you. I want to be with you. You're cool." You accepted God into your hearts. and you come to church. You come to church because you want to worship God. You come to church because you want to receive from God. You come to church because you want to hear his word. You want to grow. You want to be different. You want to be what God wants you to be. And still in that, we can fear that and still say no. But the prophet Jeremiah spoke in 29 verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Now, we've got to remember, when I was reading that, I was remembering the words of Sarah a few weeks back. Context, context, and context. Now, you could say to me, but the prophet was speaking to the people of Israel when they had been exiled to Babylon. But God's word is true then, is true today to us. And he is always there for us. His plans are always good for us. And he is always going to prosper us. They're never for disaster. So we just need to trust in him. As Sam said today, trust in him about cost of living. It's a big thing at the moment. It's in the news. Bah, 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 bah. Everything's going up. Doom and gloom. But that's what the news does, doom and gloom. I choose to watch the news every now and then just to get a basis of what's going on. But then I ignore it because I know God is going to fulfill his promise and look after me. But I've got to say yes to all that. I'll give you a few examples of me saying yes to the Lord. 5 years old, in my bedroom, playing with my toys. Wardrobe's behind me. There's a voice. "Sam, follow me." I'm like, "What? This is a bit weird." "Sam, follow me." And I turned and I said, "Yes, Lord," because I knew it was the Lord. Now, I entered into God's love and his plan for me. He's changing me. Now, my life did this. You think it's constantly up, but it's not. Up and down, up and down. I walked away from the Lord, did some things that maybe you shouldn't do, but God was always there. And there's always those moments. "Sam, Sam, 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 Sam. Okay, Lord." When I was at church at a baptism service, "Sam, you're next." He goes to me. I went, "What?" I turned around, thinking it was just someone whispering in my head. This was at Folkestone Baptist Church many years ago. The person behind me does not have a man's voice. It was a lady. I was like, okay, this is God again. "Sam, Sam, Sam, okay." God did great things. I changed. I prospered. Another time that came into my head was at Chetham Baptist Church when I was there, and I was just leading worship, and I would just lead with my voice, and I was tinkering around with a guitar, and God just said to me, "You're going to lead worship with that guitar." I said, "Nah." He says, "Even if it's for one or two songs, just do it." And I'm thinking, God, I can't do that. Now, sorry, Grant. I'm thinking my ability is no as good as Grant, because Grant was playing the band that time. He's great. And I think, no, but God said, "No, I want you to do it." And it was for two songs. But I said yes, and that moment, it changed the way I led worship and what I did with the Lord, because it gave me this extra, I was stretched and I changed. It gave me this extra ability to kind of lead the band rather than just hand signals, verse one, verse two. There was an extra emotion I can add to it. And these are just small examples of me just saying yes to the Lord. But in everything he did, the process was a bit tough. And sometimes I'm like, what's going on, God? But he was always there for me. He was always cheering me on. And it never failed, because God never fails. That's the lie of the enemy. The enemy likes to think, put these blinkers on you, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. You're rubbish. You're no good. Yeah? I went into school, not great, with dyslexia. I was dogged by teachers. You're not great. You're not great. I had that quite a lot in my life in school. You're not going to amount to anything. You're useless. Took me a long time to break that, but that's part of God's change. And now I don't care. I don't care. I can't do words properly sometimes or maths, because God's made me unique. But what you're saying, Candy, he's made me the way I am. My uniqueness is a power for change in myself, but also in other people's, because it speaks to people. Because we all have a uniqueness that God wants to use to impact other people in the church, but also in the community. And I would also say to young people, there's not many here, but there's enough, is that this word that I'm speaking, don't think this is just applying to the adults in the room. It applies to all of us, because you young people are just as powerful in God as, say, Norman is, who's had a life doing God's work. Yeah? You're just as powerful. You're no more less important than, say, Sarah and Gareth in the church. Because when we come into God's kingdom, we're on a level par. There isn't in God this, that person's been in God for years and they've done great things, so they're up here and we're down here and we've got to work our way up. It doesn't work like that. As soon as you enter into the kingdom of God and say yes to God, you're on a level par. Because God doesn't give out treats at different volumes. Like when you make juice or your Robinson's drink, if I put a bit more in, it's a bit more stronger. No, none of that. God's strength is the same. So, what I want to say is this. Change can be tough. It might get a bit hot. Heidi, if you want to get up. It might be a bit hot, but God knows on the other side, like a caterpillar, you will become a beautiful butterfly. She's out. That is, she's coming. I shall keep going on, like, you know. So, just to reiterate again, when I did this, it was a forced change. But with God and with Jesus, it's not a forced change. He always says, will you come? He always encourages. He always says, come with me. He leads you on. And all we have to do is say yes. We can say no, but God wants you to say yes. But he's not going to give up on you if you say no. But the change he brings is beautiful, it's wonderful. You'll be stretched, yes, it's a little bit. But what comes out the other side is mighty great things. Not just for you, but for also the people around you as well. So I asked Heidi if we would just, as we close in worship, just to make an opportunity really as we worship, just to say yes to the Lord. If you feel that the Lord is saying something as we move into just into worship, just say yes to the Lord. Don't be afraid. It could be anything. It could be just standing there and just saying, yes, God, I recommit myself to you. If God's been saying, I need you to go and do this in the week, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. If God's saying, actually, I need you to do a physical act and come forward for prayer, then just come forward for prayer. You know, don't worry about anyone else in the room or what's going on. It's just taking a step forward. It's that easy. And just come and receive if that's what you need. If not, don't worry about it. It's cool. And I would encourage you, young people, if you feel that, do it. Because the Holy Spirit is a gift from God that can hold us up. It builds us up. It takes us along. It's always there for us, but it also changes us in a mighty way. Because you've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all three in one.